Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, this is the 23rd of September, and we're so glad that you're here to join and enjoy with us. Let me introduce our staff. We've got Bernice.
Hello, everyone. How are you this evening?
And our switchboard operator and producer is not with us today. She's out of town, and she'll be returning today. So anyway, we will continue on our announcements. Happy birthday to all you Libra folks that started the 21st. Sorry we don't have any birthdays or anything to celebrate, but I do want to give a shout-out to Diane Ashley. I attended our 45th year class reunion last night, and Diane was a chairman, and I just want to give a shout-out and tell her thank you. She did a tremendous job. It was held at the Pink Restaurant downtown Seattle, Washington, and we all enjoyed very much. So I just want to tell her thank you, and thank you to all the classmates that came out to support the event. Now, we're going to go to entertainment news. Boy, I tell you, we got some entertainment news today, y'all.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff on board today.
I'm telling you. So I'm going to let Bernice begin. Oh, and also, before I forget, y'all, we have a special guest today, Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn. He's got a book coming out called Perfect Circle. And his book will drop, I believe the book release or book signing is October 16th. We'll get more information from him when he's online. So today's show is about poetry. So all you people out there that are listening, get your poems together. Call in. That number is 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. And read your poetry. It's all welcome, all ages. All righty, Bernice, what's going on down the hall, girlfriend?
Well, girlfriend, we've got Broadway and screen legend Ben Vereen is divorcing his wife of 36 years, y'all. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
I was surprised. I said, what? I said, Vereen married Nancy Bruner Vereen in 1976. And he's citing irreconcilable. And thank you. Differences. I couldn't get my tongue to go right. Published reports say that 65-year-old Tony Winner, best known for his work in the miniseries Roots, asked the court reject his wife's ability to collect spousal support. Now, this is ridiculous. This 65-year-old man is going to let go of this woman after 36 years. You know what I'm saying? And what is so bad that, I mean, what could she do?
I don't know.
Moving on, okay? Because I ain't got nothing to say about that. Cedric the Entertainer will be hosting the Soul Train Awards, which will air on the BET and Centric Networks on Sunday, November 25th. New Edition is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. R. Kelly has been nominated for Album of the Year, and he's also up for the Ashford & Simpson Songwriter of the Year Award. Wow. Other nominees include Usher, Estelle, and John Legend.
Right. Congratulations to all you people.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
What will the new season of American Idol be like with their new judges? Mariah Carey, y'all. Nicki Minaj, Keith Urban and old mainstay Randy Jackson. Now, that's going to be some issues going on there. I can see him now. He hasn't seen the program yet, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's going to be some serious issues going on there. So there have already been reports of tension in the set after Minaj showed up 45 minutes late. Will a feud help the ratings? No, I don't think so. Right.
Well,
is the show dying out? I think so.
Yeah.
I've said before, there are too many singing reality shows, and they are losing their luster. These celebrities are being paid millions to appear on these shows, and the ratings remain flat.
Yep.
That tells me that these guys do not have any work. That's what it tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the idol to push the tension between Minaj and Carrie to keep interest in the show. Nobody pays attention to the talent anymore. No, they don't. They just want to. I think they took away the limelight from the talent. I think that's why it's not going to work. Meanwhile, Usher and Latin singing sensation Shakira will be joining NBC's The Voice next spring.
Right.
Uh-huh. They will be filling in for Christina Aguilera and CeeLo Green, who are taking a break to concentrate on their careers. I know that's right. It's getting kind of old now. It's just, like you said, there's too many of them.
Well, I only watch it to see the pre-shows when the people are trying out, because
mm-hmm.
they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're funny and some of them are good, so I like to watch the pre-shows. But once it begins, I'm out of it now.
Yeah, because, you know, they be just trying to take it over and bring in their little, you know, the judges are, except for the Randy Jackson. You know, he just tells like it is and move on.
Yeah.
But these other ones that has been on here, they want to take over the show and be the limelight of the show, and the show is not about them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I see. So moving on, this is not a good time for singer Lauryn Hill.
Well,
Hill faces a 3-year jail term for not paying her taxes. Now, why aren't these people paying their taxes?
I don't understand that. They ought to learn from past entertainers, but evidently
exactly.
not.
Sentencing takes place in late November. The mother of six is also facing criticism from her exes. For years, Hill carried on an affair with Fergie's founder, Wyclef Jean.
Fugees. That's their
Fugees.
Group. Yeah.
Okay. He was and still is married to his wife, Claudinette, but that didn't stop him from having an affair with Hill. Jean is writing about it in his new book, Purpose. He claims he thought he was the father of Hill's first child, but then was devastated when he realized the father was Rohan Marley.
Mm-hmm.
How can Jean be mad? He was married. Oh, well. Jean, count your blessings, okay? Quit tripping. Oh, well, Jean claims this revelation destroyed his relationship with Hill and thus caused the end of the Fugees. Rohan Marley is also alluding to the fact that Hill's last child was by a spiritual advisor. Marley says the first five are his, but not the sixth. Marley claims Hill did not want to get married to him because she wasn't ready. Plus, her stepping out on their relationship was not acceptable, even though it is known he'd been fooling around with friends of Hill's family. Okay. That sounds like the kettle calling the pot black, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Moving on. More embarrassing personal issues for singer Fantasia, y'all. Yeah, Fantasia's back in the house again, y'all. Antoine Cook, the father of her second child, has admitted in court that he and Fantasia started their affair while he was still married to his wife, Paula.
Yup.
Wait a minute. Didn't they have that before and they said she wasn't? Linda?
She wasn't what?
He was not married to her?
No, he's always been married to her. It always came out. Yeah, he never divorced his wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Paula Cook is trying to sue Fantasia again in court. Paula is claiming that the singer broke up her marriage. Oh, please. And in filing for alienation of affection. This is a law in North Carolina. In one infamous case, a woman won and got $30 million.
Well,
why is Antoine admitting his cheating now? Is he in cahoots with his wife to get Fantasia's money? Well,
there it is.
What little she has, that is. Yeah, makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine and Fantasia have been on the outs ever since Fantasia's money got low.
Well,
I mean, y'all have already destroyed her career. What makes you think you're going to get some more money out of her? That don't make sense to me. The connection is not working. She has been touring to go to get money. Despite her strong voice, her recording career has taken a hit. In the first court ruling, Fantasia had to admit to a previous abortion and failed suicide attempt while she was with Antoine. See, that doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Fantasia is doing her best to take care of her family. She and Antoine became the parents of a beautiful baby boy, but he still decided to go back to his Paula and their two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Will Fantasia be able to get over Cook? Her affair with his dismarried man has hurt her heart and her career. Well, we had talked about that a while back, Linus.
Yep,
huh?
we sure have.
Destroy her career, and she needed to get out of it.
We sure have.
Yeah.
Yep, she just, I don't know what it is. She's just got that man in her bloodstream so bad she can't get away from it
for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And the longer she stays there, the worse the situation has become.
Uh-huh.
So I hope for all of them that they get to some medium of a resolution. She go on with her life and her two children, and he continues with his wife and two kids.
Mm-hmm. And Antoine needs to leave Fantasia alone so she can go ahead on and raise the
baby. Well, it takes two. She needs to leave him alone, too. It takes
That's
two.
True.
So,
That's true. You're right.
I mean,
absolutely right.
They both need to sit down and talk and stop this foolishness because it is hurting their career. I don't see anybody trying to snap her up or any new music coming out by her. So.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, that's all I have on my end. What do you have, Linus?
Well, Denzel Washington is gracing the latest issue of GQ magazine, and Lord, he looks fine. Denzel is so fine to me. Woo-hoo!
He's a cutie.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Washington has two big projects, and on the horizon, his movie Flight with John Cheadle and John Goodman opens in theaters in early November.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's second film is Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg, comes out next year.
Oh, I know that's going to be good.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In a recent interview, singer Al Green says if a movie were to be made about him, about his life, he would love for Washington to play him on the big screen.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, that'll work.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boxer Evander Holyfield is doing his best to stay out of jail and avoid contempt of court. Holyfield owes over $500,000 in back child support to his various children.
Oh, my gosh. The word various is in there. That means maybe more than 10. I don't know.
He's got 11 kids. I think it's 11.
What? Oh, I was not too far off the mark. Oh, you go, Vernice. Wow.
Well, former BET head and founder Bob Johnson and Tracy Evans are joining forces for a faith-based YouTube channel called All Right TV.
Mm-hmm.
This channel will showcase trendy topics, self-help, and entertainment.
Wow.
Oprah Winfrey shares the cover of Forbes magazine with fellow billionaires Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates for the 400 Richest People in America issue.
Mm.
The mighty old cracked Forbes top 200 as a media mogul.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Oprah. Singer Keisha Cole is the cover girl for the latest edition of Hype magazine.
Mm-hmm.
At the movies Think Like a Man, star Michael Ealy with his fine self returns to the big screen this Friday in the movie Unconditional. The movie is about two childhood friends who reunite after their lives take a very different and tragic path.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Ealy's hit movie Think Like a Man is now on DVD and Blu-ray, y'all.
Ooh.
Well, actor Wesley Snipes comes out of jail next summer for tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
He won't have to worry about work. Snipes is being considered for a role in the movie Expendables 3 alongside Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
The movie franchise it's about aging action stars has been a big hit in theaters.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering how well they was going to do because for a while they sounded like they weren't doing too hot.
Now for the really good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ha-ha.
Here we go.
out of the gate, now that she is divorced from Chad Ochocinco, you know who I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
Evan Lozada, moved on with her life. Well, is she a better person now since she opened up after her anger issues on Ayala Van Sant's new show, Ayala Fix My Life?
Mm-hmm.
Friends feel now that Johnson has signed the divorce papers and the marriage is over, Lozada can go on with her life and reality TV. Hmm. As for Johnson, that's another story. His career is at an all-time low. Hello, somebody.
Uh-huh.
The domestic violence issue with Lozada will haunt him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It ruined his reality show and
it sunk
his football career.
Mm-hmm.
Can he recover from this? Maybe. It's time for him to sit down with Van Sant.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Ayala, her show debuted to strong ratings and a strong buzz.
Mm.
The show airs on Oprah Winfrey's own network at 10 p.m. on Saturday night, y'all.
Mm.
Right after Welcome to Sweetie Pies. I love that show.
Uh-huh.
I said last year Oprah and Ayala needed to get together because OWN needed another hit like Sweetie Pies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did. So congratulations to you, Ayala,
for
a good job. She's doing good. I've always liked her.
I like her, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Venus and Serena Williams are not only the darlings of the tennis world, but sports in general. But don't look for their support of a documentary based on their lives. The Williams sisters let cameras follow them around for 20 months after agreeing to be a part of a documentary based on their lives and growing up. Well, the sisters didn't like the way their father was portrayed. See? In the final product, Richard Williams has always been seen as a controlling and, shall we say, different.
Mm-hmm.
This apparently came across much too real in the documentary, and the sisters didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there were the issues of Richard Williams' out-of-wedlock children. In the end, the Williams sisters decided they couldn't support a project that would hurt their image and family.
Yeah. You go, girls.
Definitely
go.
Hand clap, high five three or four times
all
for you, because a lot of people would have went for the money and said, screw it. But
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you two young ladies care about your family
exactly.
and the values that you bring to the sports world as black women
exactly,
and as athletes. So, hey,
mm-hmm.
kudos to you.
Yes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Former BET head and founder Bob Johnson and Tracy Edmonds. Oh, I said that. I already talked about that. Well, that's all I have for entertainment news at this time.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break, and, well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the sports, and then hopefully by then Mr. Alvin Horn will have, called in, and we can get
the
poetry
okay.
started. Yes, indeed. So we will be back, say, in about 3 minutes, if not five. So stay tuned. That number is 646, area code 646-727-2914. For all the poets, come on back. All right, see you in five, folks. Okay, and we are back. Thank you for joining us on In the Studio with Lenis, Vernice, and Chauvinet. That's area code 646-727-2914, area code 646-727-2914, and today's show is about poetry. Okay, we're going to give the scores, and right now, just to let everybody know, and what game is this, Vernice?
This is Oakland and Pittsburgh.
And somebody just got hurt.
Number
85, and we're in the fourth quarter, and the score is what, 31?
31 to 21.
Oh, okay.
And Pittsburgh is in the lead, and the player that got hurt is on the Oakland team.
Okay, there
mm-hmm.
we go. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Vernice.
You're welcome.
Okay, so the score so far, we've got Philadelphia and ARI, I'm sorry, I can't think, 6 to 27. Steelers and Chicago. Chicago took it 23 to 6. Buffalo and Cleveland. Buffalo 24, Cleveland 14. Tampa Bay 10, Dallas 16. Oh, hello, Cowboys. I know Shav is happy. Tennessee and Detroit. Tennessee 44, Detroit 41. They went into overtime.
Wow.
Indiana 17, Jackson 22. Went into overtime. New York and Miami. New York 23, Miami 20. San Francisco 13, Minnesota 24. Went into overtime, Kansas City 27, New Orleans 24, Cincinnati 38, Washington 31, ATL 27, SD 3. And New England will be playing tonight at 8:20 or, let's see, 8:76 or 5:20 Pacific Coast time, New England against Baltimore.
Mm.
So, and what's going on right now is Houston and Denver, 31 to 11. They're in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh and Oakland. Pittsburgh 31, Oakland 21. They're in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the final for Philadelphia, like I said, in ARI was 6 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is our scores for the day. I mean, not for the day, but our updated on the football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're just waiting for Mr. L.A. Horn to call in. So while we're waiting for him, I guess I'll read some poetry to get us started here. So let's see. Well, I think I'm going to read a poem about man. So
okay.
Let's do that. Man, why is there prejudice when it is only just us? Could it be we are misunderstood from fatherhood? God gave us life. All we have to do is act right.
Mm-hmm.
Our most beautiful gift is a woman, yet at times we are only select man.
Mm-hmm.
Submission is a sign of weakness, expressed as an abscess. Our precept is to command, not to be on demand. Concealment of communications is what created nations. Action that obedience is a man, sustained to obtain what remains. I am mankind, unwind, rewind, and define man. Okay, no place like home. Seeing different people and places from disgrace to embrace. Home is where the heart is, memorized and fictionalized. Grown adult and moving, don't let that door hit you with that back swing.
I'm telling you.
Confused, misused, and not understood. Too many falsehoods from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming home where I belong, in the mind where there is no time.
Mm.
Got my shoes clicking, two by two. It's me and you, mind, body, and soul. There is no place like home.
Amen.
No place. Well, now, since I read about man, let me also read about woman.
Okay.
All right. Woman, she is the epitaph of selfless love in all ways. She is the victory of any walkway. Her skills are numerous. She is the gateway to a glass house.
Mm-hmm.
She is the recorder of human correspondence, so much evidence to her providence. She is the scripture to a man's love. All blessings come from above.
That's right.
She is the tribunal in families, the chess game of finesse. She is the book yet to be finished, reconciled to her domicile. Woman to woman, she is the window of spontaneous profane who remains in name, woman.
All
right.
That's beautiful. I like that one.
Yes.
I like both of those, man and woman. I like those.
I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
I want a copy.
All
right. Well, I think I want to do one on peace.
Okay.
Only because the way of the world is right now.
Okay. I think we need a little bit of that.
Yes, ma'am. There is no understanding without peace. There is no communication without peace. There is no love without peace. There is no relationship without peace. There is no spirituality without peace. There is no generations without peace. Governments cannot operate safely without peace. Countries, cities, communities can't give to their people without peace. The planet Earth that we live on as a whole cannot sustain our living without peace. Why is this so hard? Peace.
Some folks just don't want to do. They want to do what they want to do.
I guess.
You know?
And this one I dedicated to my daughter's cat. His name was Curious.
Aww.
It's kind of funny. Curious is a black cat so big he's described as a beast, demon, big as a dog. He is so precious and sweet, he'll bite your feet.
Yes, he will.
Loves his mistress even when she disses. He will purr, rub up against you in a loving manner, and take you down like a flying banner. He once beat an adult pit bull. The dog was so scared to come down the stairs because Curious was at the bottom selling wolf tickets. He is 6 years old now and acts like a cocky teenager. There are times he'll talk to you and give you a kiss, and other times he will hiss. His mistress done spoiled him and taught him to defend himself. Now he thinks he is an OG, old gangster.
Yeah.
Folks, men or women, won't visit unless he is on lockdown.
Oh, my goodness.
Because Curious will bring you down.
That is funny. That is funny.
His mistress stated she won't never have no children because Curious is her son. I guess so. He will protect and eject any male caller unless he is a baller. Hollering like a bitch because Curious them bit him.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that with Curious. Oh,
he likes
goodness.
To smoke bud, but the guys get mad at him because, as stated, you ain't putting nothing in on this. To know Curious is to love him from afar, and please, please be on guard.
That is cute. I love it. I love it.
Yep, that's for all you folks that have cats. Oh, my God.
They turn out to be your babies.
I'm telling you.
I'm saying the heart, that's my baby.
That's right. Okay, and because it's Sunday, we're going to do a poem on prayer. Oh, we've got Mr. Horn.
Okay.
Welcome in, Mr. Alvin L.A. Horn is on the line with us, everybody. All right. Our poet in the Northwest, Loderot. How you doing, Mr. Horn?
I'm doing well as I'm sitting back watching the water go by and the boats go by on a nice sunny day in fall. You know, it's okay. I'm doing well.
Ah, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah,
I wish I could see some water right now. I can at Bernice's house, but not at mine.
But
But anyway, we're so glad to have you. And just to give a little background about your first book, and then let's talk about Perfect Circle, and for sure let everybody know, you know, when your book's dropping and all that good stuff. So I'm going to let Alvin have it. Go ahead, Mr. Howard.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm always wanting to be on your radio show. I can't wait to, when I get that invite, I'm right there. So here I am. I'm blessed that, you know, some kind of way or another, God and some genetics put some writing skills in me. And living
Amen.
In the Northwest,
mm-hmm.
I've wrote two stories, two novels now, and they both are doing well. The new one,
wow.
Perfect Circle.
Congratulations.
And the first one, you know, it's kind of come like a little cult favorite for everyone, is Brush Strokes. And I still, you know, even though my career is moving on, you know, you're still your first baby, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
still dear to me. And
it was a
learning process, and it was an awakening. And then you find out people are reading you. You're like, oh, wow. You
mm-hmm.
know, so after all these years, because Brush Strokes has been out since 2006. And even now, it still sells quite well. And so I've been blessed to have wrote a story that keeps people's interest. And
that's right.
All
give
right.
that brother a hand cap and a high five, y'all. Go ahead.
You know, the main character, Tylo, a lot of people know that main character. And they know the alter ego character of Susie Q that's in there, and there's a fellow by the name of Elliot that, ooh, boy, the ladies love him but hate him at the same time. So, and it's all about all something we all know about, finding love and losing love and getting the strength to try it again and again if you have to, and, you know, putting away your fears, and sometimes you have to go a little bit further than you anticipated you would. But when you do, you feel good about yourself, whether it works out or not, because you know you put your best foot forward, and that's what Brush Strokes is about.
All right. Well, tell us now a little bit about Perfect Circle, your new book that's just coming out very shortly, folks, pretty quick here, around the corner.
Yes, it is around the corner. The anticipated release date from the publisher, which is Simon & Schuster and Zane, had been October 16th, but I have been made aware that they are probably going to release it the first week of October. So those who have already ordered the book will be seeing it shortly. The reviewers have already got the books, and I've already got some great reviews. One of the reviews I got was from the San Francisco Chronicle.
All right.
It's kind of odd. The guy called me. He says, you know, we're in a political arena right about now. So most of the books that we review are books of political nature, autobiographies and biographies and nonfiction. He says, so I can't guarantee you're going to make the printed version, but you're probably definitely going to make the online version. But I want to tell you personally, he said, your book takes you from something that most books don't do no more. And this was and it really feels good because it was my goal. To take us back to a time in our life when we changed or something influenced us that eventually influenced our adult life. Whether
okay.
it's tragic, it could be tragedy, it could be something happy, but it is a full gamut of four people's lives. How did they come to where they are and the influences of those impacts on their life, and how does it play out in the love game? How does it play out in their work? How does it play out with their families? And so, you know, like I say, something that happened to us in our youth can affect us
mm-hmm.
30, 40 years later. Often a book kind of leaves a short sometimes of characters of where their background is. They give us a little, you know, little brush across the forehead of where they were born or something like this. And but I take a little bit time to get into where they came from and how they came to this point. Perfect Circle is a continuation somewhat of Brush Strokes, and the fact that the main character from Brush Stroke, Tylo, has friends. And the story is really about his friends here in Seattle, Washington. You know, being, you know, I'm here, so I'm going to make everybody feel like they're going to see Beacon Hill. They're going to feel what it's like to ride across the float bridge while at the same time a woman is having a sexual fantasy. And, you know, what happens if, you know, if you run out of your lane on the floating bridge, you know? You know, what happens when, you know, you're in trouble, you know? And, you know, so it takes us all around Seattle. It takes us to some landmarks and, you know, the different stories going on. The basic part of the story is there is a fictional college here called East Seattle City University, which is kind of based in the Bellevue area. And the main competition is the University of Washington. And so there is a background of basketball, but the story has very little to do with sports. It's about the adults that are on the campus who are committing all kinds of fouls. So, I couldn't help it. I shouldn't have done that. I'm a poet. I know better. Take the cheap shot. Anyway, the story's based in the Northwest, and every neighborhood passes through, and situations that people would know about in different places. And once again, it's about finding love, losing love, different ways we go about it. And so it's a story that so far the reviewers are loving, and I'm sure everybody will. And I'm asking my Seattle family to, you know, hey, support me. My sales have been really great on the East Coast and other places around the United States, and they've been okay here. I'm quite happy, but I'd love for everybody who knows me or knows someone to read my book here in the Northwest, because I am you. This is your story.
Right.
So I would like everyone to be a part of that here in the Northwest.
All right, yes. We
that
want a million
like a
copies
very,
sold, folks.
Yeah, that
so come
sounds
on.
Like a very interesting book.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling my listening audience, even if you don't live in the Northwest, because I know the people on the East Coast hear the show, as well as my friends in England and Jamaica, buy the book. He told you, if you can't find it online, Mr. Horn is on Facebook, but I would also suggest that you go to Amazon.com. You can get there or either through Simon & Schuster, but buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great author, and you will really enjoy it to no end. So,
and the names of the books are?
Brushstrokes, and his new one is Perfect Circle.
Okay.
And
Perfect
you can
Circle.
Find me
okay,
online
go ahead,
at Barnes & Noble. Yeah, Barnes & Noble.
Oh, and Barnes & Noble, yes.
You can go Walmart.com, and even they carry it. The Zane store, Simon & Schuster, of course, Amazon. And so please look for me. You can go to my website, which is www.alvinhorn. That's with no E, alvinhorn.com. That's my website, and you'll find connections to get to places to order my book. And please come on in, and for sure the book travels through the United States, just not here in Seattle. There is some traveling that goes on in different, and people come from different places. So it is a good read for anyone, anytime. And one of the best things about this book I've heard back from a couple of reviewers, the book reads well with men and women.
Hello.
So there's no excuse for. Generally, my reading audience is the demographic of women, but this is the type of book that you want to put in your husband or your boyfriend's hand, and he's going to enjoy it for sure. So it is definitely a book that, and it crosses multicultural. So, you know, there's lots of people that are going to enjoy this book.
Okay. And could you repeat those titles of those books again, please, for the audience?
The first book, my first book is
Both of them.
Brushstrokes. And that. And the new book is Perfect Circle, published by Simon & Schuster and Zane.
Okay, sounds good.
Now, you've talked about it enough. Come on, Mr. Horn, give us a few samples. You know we love to hear what you wrote.
I can do that. I'm going to read you a little portion of the book of a main character, and this is her opening when she comes into the book. Her name is Lois May. Lois May is from Houston, Texas. Lois May is a size 18. Lois May is educated. You know, she's stylish, but she has a background that impacts the story for her in a much different way than people are used to. I'm going to read a little bit about Lois May.
Okay.
While driving in Seattle, wipers clearing your windshield of nothing for one moment and not keeping up the next can frustrate your drive. Lois May pulled into the parking lot and immediately turned off her annoying wipers. She pulled her visor mirror down and saw her reflection of ruby red lips. She saw red lips. She was a gloss queen. It was almost her calling card. Lois May Island had a habit of consistently checking her lipstick in her driving face. Chaka Khan's Sweet Thing had just finished playing on the radio. And the love minister, the DJ, rhymed poetic words between songs. From the microphone to your heart, let me share some hot, steamy thoughts with you. Let my fantasies touch you like kisses. My thoughts, let them engulf you with titillating visions of the kind of time I want to spend with you. Listening to earth, wind, and fire singing, can't hide love. Lois May's bare foot tapped the carpet. No way she was driving and scuffing her new Jimmy Choo boots. When she had worn her boots out of her car, she was upset with herself because it was damp outside. She didn't want to get her suede boots weatherized. She was on her way to meet her date. Her car pulled in next to another car at the red light, and when she looked over, a much younger black man flirted with her. He had more chrome in his mouth than the grill of her own car. He motioned for her to roll down her window, and he mouthed the word, "Can I call you?" She smiled and shook her head no. Her Chrysler 300 had a custom chrome grill and extra large rims herself. Her car made her feel physically smaller when she drove it. The black and burgundy Chrysler with the dark gray leather interior always received confidence, and she sunk her body in to feel warm and wanted. Her body did not always quite make her feel so self-assured. Lois May was not a small woman. She stood 5'11" and wore heels sometimes. That was intimidating. Her physical presence commanded attention. Slender she was not. There were a few extra pounds on her frame. She called them extra dangerous curves. She was an Amazon woman walking down the street, and her 38D breasts, she had a full figure and proud of her breasts, displaying them in whatever she wore. If men had any complaint, they never said so. Lois was a tall glass of a woman, and most men could not drink a full glass of her, mentally or physically.
Oh, wow.
It had been a while since a man had closed her bedroom door. Some men and women felt intimidated by her until she spoke, and then they heard this soft-spoken, well-educated, cultured woman. Circumstances in her life called for a gentle but mentally strong man to deal with the psychological pain of her former marriage to a cheating and physically abusive husband. A second husband came along, and he was a dead man living. He was murdered.
Mm.
So that's a little bit of a Lois May story.
That was deep.
She's an interesting character. She has a lot to say. She has quite a bit of awareness. And she has a lot to overcome. I could read to you another character.
Okay.
And she has a different story. Her name is Vanita. Vanita
Go ahead.
She is beautiful She's charming, but she has issues. So when her she comes into the story, she's sitting in church. Passing headlights, from the cars filtered through the stained glass windows of the Mount Baker Tabernacle Church. It reflected off the bifocals of the deacons who sat behind the pastor. A deep voice sang out between gold teeth flashing from Pastor Glasper's mouth as the Holy Ghost danced. Some of the children had no patience for two Sunday services and pointed and played with the light show from the pastor's mouth as he sung. Peter Irving sat with her Bible open, unable to focus on the words. Her mind strayed no matter what the pastor preached. The sermon did not help her with her troubles. My sisters, I'm here to speak to all the Eves and Esthers and Ruths of the Bible. I have a message for the Mary Magdalenes and the Deborahs and the Sarahs of the Bible. God has someone waiting for you. For those of you who are single and trying to find a mate, let me tell you how the Lord feels about you. The congregation shouted, thank you, Jesus. Some of you are happy, but some of you know that you are miserable. You see, there is no difference between either you're happily married or either you're happily single. Either you are or you're not. Amen, brother. A woman jumped up. She was sitting in front of Vanita and her son. The woman rose so fast, it was like she had a coil spring let loose up under her head. The woman shouted and pointed her stocky finger at her gold and black nail curling a half inch away. I don't need no man. God, thank you, Jesus. She stomped the floor and sat down hard. A man sitting on the same pew slid away. The pastor responded, no, my sister, you don't need no man. All you need is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I must tell you, God has an Adam for you, my Eve. His plan is for you to have a mate. Vanita Irving's emotion boxed with the preacher's words. Her soul spun like a loose hubcap on the highway, bouncing and jumping from lane to lane. The pastor's voice boomed above the choir. The music could have been Saturday Night Swing Your Hips Blues. Pastor Glasper did a sanctified version of James Brown doing the mashed potato, a 360-degree spin, all in the name of the Spirit, you know. That is about Vanita Irving. She's sitting in church wanting a man. As you know, a lot of sisters sitting in church. You know.
I'm listening to you. Go ahead with
don't
it.
Be hollering
go
about you
with
listening.
It, Mr. Orlando.
Don't
go on.
Be hollering about
you
listening. I'm going to call you out.
You know, I always make light of certain things that, as we all do, and comedians make light of what happens in our church and everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like to bring out is you know, the spirituality side in anything I write. Yes, I'm writing erotica. Yes, I'm writing social issues. But I also want to speak about some spiritual needs or lack of. And so, you know, yes, I do make light of how some of our pastors get up there and preach. And we know a lot of our pastors are actually preaching to a flock of women when they go to church. And a lot
true
of
that.
Pastors are living
true that.
They act like they want these sisters to be married, but, you know, sometimes these egos of some of these pastors, they'd rather keep those sisters single and vulnerable for certain reasons.
Yeah.
Yep.
That does happen. We read about it. We hear about it.
It does.
And then we sit there and shake our head and we say, yeah, they're going another one of them pastors. But I always want to say, who is that pastor sleeping with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
You know?
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
I'm telling you, they used to talk about the front bench all the time. Now it's like it ain't the front bench. You done moved back to the sanctuary, okay?
You know, we're all guilty of sitting in church and not focused. I can recall sitting in church one time, and there was this usher. Lord have mercy. Her legs. And I was trying to focus. I'm like, yeah. Can you go usher someplace else? I'm trying to hear the word, but all I heard was her stockings going shh, shh, shh.
That's God knows we have our weaknesses now. He knows.
Well, Alvin, I just want to ask one more thing. Can you read one of your erotic, if you got a quick 2 or 3 minute, one of your erotic poems?
One of my erotic poems. Let me see here. Give me a second to find something that you could roll with here.
Okay. Because I want to tell the ladies in the audience, this is how we all learned about Alvin is going to his readings because he was doing exotic poetry, erotic poetry, I should say, and the word was passing around that you got to hear this guy, you got to hear him. It's like, wow, when you leave, you want to find your man or a man, because that's how much Alvin would stir up those emotions in a woman. So with that, Alvin, I'll let you take it.
All right, I got a poem called Chocolate Strawberry.
Uh-uh.
Her nipple. I close my eyes and I suck her nipple. I pull it into a long, firm, textured gumdrop. She's no Playtex full of air. I sink my teeth lightly but tightly. I feel her breast rising. I run my tongue all down. She tilts her head, her eyes drift downwards. She watches my tongue doing a porn show on her breast. Feels her blood pressurizing, pulsating at her cherry. I lap her chocolate strawberry nipple like the king of the jungle laps the lioness pheromones from secretions. I get right over the top of her and draw that chocolate strawberry nipple high as I can stretch her. I let go and stare in her eyes. She knows I got this. She also's got nasty on her mind. She licks her lips happily, but she nervously bites her own lip because she knows I'm about to get busy all over her and eventually in her. My eyes lead her to act right. She makes it happen. She takes her pretty hand and cups her other breast and cranes her head, and her fat, sweet lips suck her own breast. And then her tongue reaches out and licks her own chocolate strawberry nipple. She knows I love to watch. She makes me grab my hardness and spank it with her breast. I put my hardness between her breasts. She clamps her breast tightly around my heart, and I ride as if I'm riding her sweet, full, rounded ass. I lie back down next to her, and we double-team her chocolate strawberry nipples, sucking and licking, expanding, juicing, wetness running down her side. I chase and I catch and drag my tongue all over her body. I spend 69 while I'm sucking her chocolate strawberry nipple. She licks my chest while I suck on her. My hands are free. I love to multitask. I reach down between her thighs. I put my finger in her cherry pie. I pull my finger back and I sniff her cherry love. I stop sucking on her chocolate strawberry nipple and I suck her juice off my finger. I slide down. My tummy rests on her wet chocolate strawberry nipple. I sniff her cherry blossom some more, and damn, she smells so sweet. It sends me into thrusting, animalistic pumping. I burrow my tongue into the root of her cherry tree. At the same time, I feel her take my wild mushroom in between her lips. I start effing her mouth as I lift the ground around her cherry love land. Slowly, her cherry love land drips and drips, going to other tight places and lubricate. Should I slide my finger in there? Anyway, I make my way to her cherry seed, that little round marble of sweet sensation, and I run my tongue around it and I lick because she likes that circling thing that makes it get harder, firmer, and brings it to the top and lets the fat part of my tongue make her cherry seed magnify into the size of a baby peach pit. She can't concentrate on my sucking her. That's okay. I'll get mine afterwards. I'm making sure she gets hers. Her body is shaking as if she is trying to lose all the leaves from a tree. I eat her cherry seed as if it's the last cherry on earth. She's too done. I feel her hot air blow out of my chocolate balls as she trembles and shakes. Her toes curl tight. She needs a moment to recover. I lie next to it. I find myself back to sucking on her chocolate strawberry nipple. After a while, it's time to get mine. But damn, she's snoring.
Oh, brother, you took me to the point and you said she's snoring
and
now?
She's snoring.
Damn, leper brother, hang it.
Alvin, that was so delicious and good. God, dog, you got me throwing my panties against the wall. They're sticking, y'all. They're sticking. Anyway, please give us your website and information one more time, please, before we leave the air.
My website is alvinhorn.com, A-L-V-I-N-H-O-R-N, Alvin as in the chipmunk, and blowyourhorn.com, alvinhorn.com. Please come on by. I'm on Facebook. Look me up. Come on by. I got a fan page. Please join up. You can find my books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Brush Strokes and Perfect Circle. Please let me hear from you. I'd like to get some reviews from you. You can email me or text me. Whatever you want to do, please get a hold of me and let me know your feelings, because the next time I write my next book, I want to put your story in there in some form or another. Talk to me. Hey, ladies, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh,
I'll come back
anytime.
You are
so welcome. And thank you, Mr. Horn. And remember, that book is The Perfect Circle. The Perfect Circle, and as Mr. Horn said, please go out and buy it as soon as you can, because we want a million sales. That's what we're looking for. That's right.
Yes,
and in the Pacific Northwest, support the brother. He's put in a lot of hard work, and he deserves it. So support the brother and go out and do what you know best.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Next week's show is going to be about... What should I do? You don't want to miss this one. What should I do? All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us on In the Studio with Lennis. Bernice, go ahead.
Good night, everyone. Have a great evening.
And we will see you next Sunday at 4 p.m. on In the Studio. Thank you for joining us.